Welcome to the Playing Injured podcast, where we have conversations that help people turn their adversity into their advantage. Welcome to episode 78, where we sit down with Blaine Okers, who is a lifetime entrepreneur. He's a TEDx speaker, and his speech has over 190,000 views on YouTube. And he's also the author of the Think and Grow Rich book study edition. In this episode, we explore everything about mindset and how to build a strong foundation when it comes to your mind and how to think. It was just an all around fun conversation. And I think you guys would really enjoy it. Send this over to somebody who you think would be able to get some value from this. And we really appreciate this. With that being said, hope you enjoy the show. How you doing today, Blaine?
Hey, Josh, I am doing well. And thank you so much for having me on the podcast. I was also just before this listening to some of your episodes and a big fan of this concept of that you kind of brought out and playing injured and keep moving forward and making progress. And then also, you know, like you said, when you have to, you're teaching people how to hack the head trash. And I really like that about you, and happy to be here and honored to share with some things that I think, can help some of some of your listeners today.
100%. One thing me and Blaine were chatting a little bit about how long I've been doing the podcast for and different things like that. One thing I've learned throughout my journey is you got to prepare. You have to prepare. You have to know who you're chatting with. And I've been really impressed about the things you've accomplished and what you've shared. And I can't wait to go through it on this episode. But with that being said, I always love starting the episode off with who is Blaine today and how do you spend your time?
Yeah. So, all right. So Blaine Okers, I am America's only chief results officer. So what happened is I started helping people get results, and I kind of think God designed me for that. So I'm all about helping people take control of their lives by taking control of themselves. I had some friends who created a mastermind group, and they're like, hey, why don't you be, you know, our mindset and results guy? And then they started calling me the chief results officer. And then I realized that like nobody else had that title. So I went to the US Patent Office and I got the registered trademark. So the R with the circle. So if anyone says they're a chief results officer, they can't say that, at least in America. So that's how I kind of became this person that helps people get results. And so that's kind of what I do today. I do it in a couple different ways. I help mastermind groups. I do something called Super Results Days. I write articles. You know, I have programs that basically help you kind of tap into influencing yourself, right? And getting yourself to do the right things. So I really like that. I was lucky that I had a few moments of dawning comprehension early on in my career that helped me get to a point where I could work from home. So now I think I'm at 27 years working from home, and that saves a lot of time, you know. And a funny reason I kind of backed into working from home was I came home from a business trip. I was working a corporate job at the time, and my son, Beau, he was 1 year old, and he was like kind of giving me the cold shoulder. And I'm like, Beth, my wife, I'm like, hey, what's going on here? Why is Bo giving me the cold shoulder? He says, well, you know, you were gone so long, he kind of forgot who you were. And I'm like, what? And so that night, I mean, that just like hit me like really hard emotionally. And, you know, talk about playing injured. You know, I was emotionally injured pretty hard by that. But I made a decision. And I call this a clarifying decision, where you make like this big decision that kind of removes a lot of the noise from your life and kind of gets you focused like a laser rather than like a lantern scattered all over the place. But I said, I'm going to work from home. That I'm not going to do this. Now, it took me a year to do that. But a year later, you know, I left the job, and then I was there. I was the work from home dad. So I could coach the teams. I could be there at the bus, and it also, though, the other weird thing is it gave me a lot of time to work on self-development, in college. Have you ever heard of the book Think and Grow Rich? You ever
100%. Heard of that? 100%. One of my favorite books.
Okay. So in college, back in the 80s. This is the actual book I read. I sent away. So I was kind of a seeker, kind of like you. I was a seeker of knowledge. And so I sent away for an audio tape. And then I read this book. And that's really where we talk about WYTABA, which is an acronym, what you think about, you bring about. But it was in that book I realized, hey, wait a second. What you think about, you bring, like think and grow rich. Now, it could be riches like money, but it was also anything you desire. There's a bit of a systematic way that you can bring that about in your life, that you can make it happen, right? So like right now, if I have a thought that I'm thirsty, right, I can just take a drink and make that a reality, right? Or you can say, hey, I want to see the new Marvel movie, right? That's a thought you have, then you make it a reality. And so there's kind of a systematic way to do that. That's what that book taught. And so I had some success and that helped me in life with relationships and business. But then a number of years later, I went and I liked the book so much. I had read it 15 times maybe by then. I decided I had the opportunity to buy one of the original. So I bought one of the original 5,000.
What year did the original come out? Was it 1937?
It's 37. It's 37. Yep. And here there's no other things. Like it's the very first edition. But what was interesting, when I opened up this one, you can see here, it says, what do you want most? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wait a second. I never read that before. Right. So I get out my copy that most people read. It's not in there. And I realized that the book was revised in the 60s and most people didn't read the original book. And so the first two pages was the instruction manual for the book. And then the book was a little bit different. There's a lot in all caps. They had taken some stuff out. But when I read that book, I decided, and we could talk about those two pages if you want. But at the time, my business, I was working for myself. My business was worth about $300,000. And I'm like, I want to own a $1 million business. Like that's my bring about statement. That's what I want to do. And I had a plan maybe 5 years to get there. But within 5 months, I got there. Because I applied those two things, the two lessons in the pre-instructions to the book, which says, look, you got to know what you want crystal clear. You talked about this before, clarity. You talked about vision and clarity on one of your recent podcasts. That is so important. You got to know exactly, like down to the minute detail, what is it that you really desire? Like what's the highest priority thing that you really want? But then number two was that you had to read the book in the community of people and tap into other people's brains and minds. And so, you know, I don't know if you've heard this concept, but like when two minds come together, like a third unique mind is created, right? Mm-hmm. So for example, like if I had 10 ideas on how to improve my website and you had 10 ideas on how to improve my website and you and I talked about our ideas, we wouldn't come up with just 20. Yeah. We'd come up with 30, 40, or 50, right? So the mastermind concept is like 1 + 1 = 5, right? So anyway, that happened for me. And within 5 months, an opportunity came along where I could buy another business and merge it in with mine. And as soon as I heard, I go, that's it. That's exactly what I've been working for. And anyway, made that happen. And it became worth $1 million. And I kind of never looked back since then. But anyway, so that shaped me, this idea of what you think about, you bring about. And that really helped me and gave me a lot of time to pour into other people to say, hey, how could I help other people, get results as well?
I love that. All of that. And I want to unpack those two pages specifically, right? Two lost pages. And I didn't realize that it was two lost pages until I actually watched some of your content. I was like, wait, so I've been reading this book and the 1937 version has two pages that are lost, almost like lost pages, right? Only reason why I remember the 1937 version is I was looking through it and I remembered that, these different ones that were revised. And obviously I went to the latest one. But what were those two pages that were lost? And you kind of briefly touched on it. Yeah. But I want to kind of touch a little bit deeper on it so people can really understand what those lost pages are all about.
Yeah. And initially when I found that version, there was a gentleman, Melvin Powers, he was still publishing a facsimile version, with all the right stuff, but then he passed away and then I couldn't get that version anymore. So I ended up, I had to go and get a public domain version, and recreate the original version. You mentioned I published some books. So one of the books I published is Think and Grow Rich, the book study edition, where I have the exact, original version, plus some book study and other materials along with it. But let's talk about those two pages. So the first page at the top, it says, you know, what do you want most? And so what he's saying is, like, before you read this book, I want you to spend a little time and figure out what is it that you really want the most? And if it can be the most, like you have, he called it the white heat of desire. It's almost like a, you know, like a magnifying glass. You know, the sun rays could hit my hand here, my arm, right? And it would never burn. The sun doesn't burn me, like start a fire, right? But if I take a magnifying glass and I condense even just a raw circle about this big, I can start my skin on fire, right? Or a leaf or whatever. And it's the same thing that you've got to concentrate your desires down to one thing. And that's not always easy. And I know you've had other episodes where you talk about vision and clarity, but that's the pre-work before you start reading the book, is to really dial that in. And you may have, the hardest thing is that people have competing priorities, right? Yep. So you might say, I want to do this time with my friends or with my family, but I also want to build this business or do this job, you know, really well. And so you have to come to terms with that, and you have to have a period of out of balance, you know, where you say, this is my core desire. This is what I really want. So what do you want most? And be as specific as possible, because then as you read the book, he's going to say, he's going to increase your desire for that. He's going to increase your faith, your self-confidence, your discipline, your persistence. That's all these chapters in the book that are just building upon that thing that you want the most. And if you really don't want it that badly, then the book, you won't get that excited about it. Like, you'll realize that pretty quick, right? Like, if you're not willing to, like, get up 30 minutes early or stay up 30 minutes late or forego some TV or something like that for this thing, then it's not, you don't have enough desire, enough ambition. And that's not, I don't want to judge somebody. You know, some people, their levels of ambition are different on for different things. But if you don't have the highest level of ambition, then nothing's going to help. The book's not going to help you. So any questions about that? That's kind of that first page, is really specific clarity on what you want most.
And so is that one thing you desire, or is it multiple things you desire? Or is it just what exactly you want most?
Yeah, it's typically one thing that you want the most, but it's very specific, right? So it could be, you know, like, you know, by November 15th, 2022, you know, I will be serving 334 business owners to help them get better results. Right. So that's very specific. It's got a date. It's measurable. All the numbers are there. You know, and so what that thing is, I call it a bring about state. So it's a thing that you want to bring about, but you want it as specific as possible. And you want it as vital as possible, meaning that many people have, like, a lot of different goals, but sometimes there's that one vital victory. Like, if you do that one, most of the other goals kind of take care of themselves.
Come, 100%.
Right? Yeah. It's like in health, my daughter, when she graduated college, she says, "Hey, Dad, I want to hike the Grand Canyon from rim to rim in one day." And I said, "Oh, Caitlin, enjoy that. That's going to be fun." She goes, "No, you're going to do it with me." So that year that I trained to do this 21-mile hike, 7 down, 7 across, 7 up, the year, I didn't need any other health goals that year. I mean, you know, right. And I did make it. I got the hike the longest, meaning I was the last one out of the canyon, but I made it, you know, but again, that vital victory. And then that was a big goal, but a lot of the smaller goals, you know, took care of themselves.
Took care of itself 100%.
Right. Same thing. Like at a job, there's certain things you can do at your job or certain things in your business. If you accomplish that one bigger thing, you don't have to sweat the small stuff, because that'll kind of, you know, take care of itself. But it is very specific, measurable, achievable, has a timetable, is energizing for you. And then Napoleon Hill is going to say he wants you to write it down. So you get some clarity when you, you know, write it out on paper.
100%. I love that. I love that a ton. So what about the second page that you mentioned about the community? Right?
Yeah. So the second page goes on to say that when you read the book, you should not read the book alone, that you should read it with other people, and that you should only read it a chapter at a time. So now what I recommend is, like, people just read the book, kind of just read the whole book, get through it, and then do a book study with other people. And if people want to reach out to me, I can pair you up with people or whatever. But you want to read the book with other people in a community. Could just be you and one other person. That's fine. But you need the power of the other minds, you know, to basically help you achieve what you want to achieve. And so we're influenced tremendously by the people that we're around, whether we realize it or not, right? So another mentor of mine, Jim Rohn, he's actually my favorite mentor. Have you ever heard of Jim Rohn?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay. Jim Rohn's my man. He impacted me the most, even more than my dad. But anyway, he said, you know, you're the sum total of your five closest friends. But basically he's saying this principle of influence, who you're around, they are feeding into you, you know, whether you realize it or not. So you have to read the book, and he goes very specific on that page, how to read it. And if you want to do it exact, then he has you read the chapter aloud and everybody listens to it. And then you talk about it. And then you talk about it in specifically in regards to your bring about statement. Right. So mine, I gave, that's actually my statement, which I write out every day, is that I'm helping 334 owners, to get super results, which is kind of a new thing that I started in one of my businesses. But that's, so I would be thinking about each chapter in relation to that, so that's the second part, is that you've got to do it in community. And you have to read the book in a certain way. And it's all like historical stories. But it's really more like a textbook, but it's also a highly vibrational book. Like when you read it, it's something that can bring you up out of a down state, so to speak. Mm.
So it'll help you when you're injured, when you're down, when you're going through something.
Exactly.
Because I think a lot of times a lot of people just feel lost and they don't have clarity. And then they wonder what's wrong with them and why they feel unmotivated or depressed in a way. Success is just going towards that goal, towards that desire, and you will feel amazing about yourself. 100%.
That's 100%. You're 100%. If someone is down or depressed, you know, I always say it's like going from point A to point B, but you got to know that point B. You got to be excited about what that point B is. And if you're having trouble, then you have to figure out, like, for you, how do you like push your own buttons? Like, how do you motivate yourself? Right. So like Jim Rohn, he has this thing called the Power of Ambition. You can get on Audible or wherever, but that program, I know that if I'm struggling in any area of my life, I can put that thing on and I get hope again, right? That's the mind meal that I need, you know, is that. And what a lot of people, it took me a while to realize this, but I need a 10-to-1 ratio. So this is hard to realize, but like if I have an hour of negative thoughts, I got to like pour 10 hours of the positive in to dilute that. I say there's a saying, the solution to pollution is dilution. You got to dilute down the doubt, the negativity, all that stuff. But it you got to pour a lot in there, you know. And sometimes like exercise helps. Like if I go out and go for a good hike or something like that. There are different things that I know I can do, but a lot of times, it's, I need a lot more to come out of it. And the deeper the fall, or the deeper the injury, right, the more medicine you need. Yes. And that medicine a lot of times is positive audio programs or books or podcasts like this one, stuff like that.
Yeah. Or the people that you're around. Right. And so right. I love that you mentioned that, because what people don't realize is as humans, our brains are wired to be towards the negative than the positive, is how we were raised. That's how we were groomed all the way back to our ancestral years to protect ourselves and survive. And so, as you mentioned, you have to dilute that negative that comes in. And in your TED talk, you talked about being a good gardener of the mind, right?
Yeah.
And so in a garden, weeds grow almost automatically. Kind of similar to like negative thoughts in your mind, right? And so we have to actively be planting flowers in that garden, right? And so talk a little bit about how we can be a good gardener of our mind, and then we can talk a little bit about why Taba, you bring about, right. What you think about, you bring about.
I love exactly. That. So being the good gardener of the mind is as simple as thinking about gardening, right? And thinking about the soil, the sunshine, the rain, and the seeds, right? And the seeds. So your job is, to put the seeds, in the soil, right? And the magic of nature, God, whatever, they start the growing process, but it's up to you to put the good seed in. And there's, you know, the seed and the sower, you know, some seed falls on rocky ground, some seed falls, you know, in where it's choked by the thorns, you know, there's all these different things. But if you keep sowing good seed, good things are going to happen. And so what you need to do is realize what is getting into your mind. And so that makes you step back and think, okay, what am I listening to? What am I watching? What am I hearing? Right? What, those are all inputs. And if you want to go as far as like, what are you eating? I mean, chemically, you're affecting your brain by the food you eat. So, so there's a lot of these, you know, different inputs. And once you control your inputs, which ends up being your thoughts too, once you take control of those, then good things start to happen. But sometimes it's hard to, you know, you got this good friend, but they're not, you know, they're planting maybe some negative seeds, and it not, might not even be conscious on their part. But sometimes you have to break away from some of that, you know, those relationships, and I call it hacking the head trash, but you have to see where's that trash coming from. A lot of times it's yourself and your own thoughts. And so there are different techniques to switch the negative thought to the positive, right? And your brain, like you said, there's a great TED talk about rewiring your brain. And the research now shows that your brain isn't static. Like, you can change the wiring of your brain, right? The neurons that fire together, wire together. But, you know, you're barraged with negative stuff on the news and friends and people complaining and all that. So you're, and like you said, ancestrally, we're wired for negativity. But you can change that. And you could do like a very simple exercise gratitude. People talk about gratitude, but if each day, at the end of the day, if you would look back over that day and just either in your phone or even just recall mentally three good things that happened that day. And what that does is that starts to wire your brain to look for the positive, to look for the good, and by doing that, you're going to find that your brain rewires after so many days. And then you're going to see opportunity everywhere, not despair and negativity. So you got to take control of it, but it can be as simple as that, as, you know, just recalling three good things that happened, you know, earlier in that day. Another thing that I really like is to switch your brain to help you so that if you have a negative thought, like, you know, I always get up too late. I'm lazy. I always get up too late. And the key phrase is to switch your brain around immediately and say, yeah, but I could set the alarm. See, when you say, yeah, but, then your mind, like Google, it tries to scramble for an answer. Yeah, but I can set the alarm. Yeah, but I can have my friend Josh call me at 6 a.m. Yeah, but, you know, you come up with all these ways to get around that thing. So whatever you're struggling with, negative thought, negative people, whatever it is, you know, that yeah, but can be kind of an or that turns the direction, you know, right away. I've used that, you know, countless times to kind of squelch it and try to squelch the negative stuff before it gets too big.
Here at Plain Injured, we value mental fitness and giving folks tools to persevere through anything in life. If you struggle with brain fog, fatigue, or staying focused, I want to present to you the latest biohacking tool called Magic Mind. It's an amazing productivity drink. Look, I've been drinking Magic Mind for the past few weeks, and I've noticed a difference in my level of focus, the momentum that I feel throughout the day, and it's helped me feel more successful and conquer my calendar. Magic Mind is the world's first productivity drink. It's different than an energy drink or a coffee-based drink, with minimal caffeine and all natural ingredients, helping you fight off procrastination, brain fog, fatigue, and some ADD symptoms. After about 3 to 7 days of continuous use, it's easier to get into a flow state and be more productive. Magic Mind has a special offer for our listeners. Head over to www.magicmind.co/injured and use our promo code injured for 20% off. Visit www.magicmind.co/injured and use our promo code injured for 20% off.
And what's amazing about that is that you can switch it. You just have to be conscious about your thoughts. And I love waking up with gratitude as well. Because I got to a point, I was feeling down a little bit. And, you know, this is during the kind of at the height of the pandemic, and I was feeling down. And when the alarm went off, I was like, ah, you know. And so I had to switch that instead of doing these air punches and punching my pillow when the alarm comes too soon is just being like, man, I'm grateful that I get an opportunity to chase my goals, to chase my dreams today, to add value to others. I'm excited about today. Today is going to be great. So changing that and making it a habit in a way. And so,
yeah,
I want to chat with you because you talk about a few fun things and one thing you chat about, especially in the world today where we're talking about a lot of information that can get in, it can kind of poison our minds in a way if we're not a good gardener of the mind, but also too, it takes away from our productivity. Right. And so I want to chat with you a little bit about kind of the 30 minute hour and getting work done. Right. And especially in this information age, how can somebody get an hour worth of work done in 30 minutes?
Yeah. So this is good. And this is fun because everybody, including Josh, you know how to do it. You know how to have this hour, you know, this 30 minutes that's as productive as an hour. You know how to do it. You've already done it. You just maybe forgot. And we're going to reframe it here for you. So this is kind of an exciting concept. And once you get it, you're changed for life. So this is really good. Now, before we talk about it, what I want to talk about is what would you do? Let's say that we put together 4 30-minute hours, okay? Right. So we just saved 2 hours of time. So if I gave Josh 2 hours of guilt-free, do whatever you want time, you know, what would you do? So for me, I like to ride the Peloton. I like to take walks, maybe even a little nap, you know, but also I like to read, and maybe reach out to some friends. But that's, if I had this 2 hours of guilt-free time, that's kind of what I'd end up doing. What about for you? What would you do if you had a couple of hours guilt-free, do whatever you want time?
Definitely talk to friends, group chat, stuff like that. I think I would turn some type of sports podcast on, something about the Chicago Bears, the Bulls, whatever the case may be. I would go for a walk. I would go outside. I would go around, be amongst the people, maybe be downtown somewhere. So multiple things that I can do, but it'll definitely involve sports and being around people. And I might get a 30-minute nap in there as well.
There we go. All right. Nice. All right. So there's a day, and some people have this day a few times a year, but there's a day where people are 3 to 10 times more effective than an average day. So now we're only looking for 2x. This is where they're 3 to 10 times more effective. Do you know what day, and maybe you do know, what day of the year that is?
I would say New Year's, around New Year's.
Okay. So New Year's is a good one. Like New Year's, New Year, you know, new habits. People are excited about the new year, getting stuff done. That's not the day. This day actually happens on different days for different people. So it's not like a specific day of the year, like a numbered day of the year, first day of the year or something like that.
It might be the day, I guess the day before vacation or something like that.
Hey, Josh, my man, that's it. Yeah. You got it. Yeah. So the day before vacation, people get 3 to 10 times the amount of stuff done. So why is that? Like, why do you think, you know, before you're going on a big trip, what are you doing in that day before vacation that's different than the other days for you? What happens?
You're making sure you get everything done. First of all, you're everything at home. You're ready to leave everything at home, and you want to make sure that all your kind of bases are covered. And also too, you're getting ready to go on a trip. You're super excited. You're looking forward to the trip. So you have this extra boost of energy, to get things done.
Yeah, exactly. And so if you distill like the why people get more stuff done, I came up with a little acronym, PDF. Now, PDF, you know, people talk about, oh, send me the PDF and I'm going to print it out. So it's easy initials to remember. So in that regard, PDF is a portable document format. That's not what this one is. But what I want you to do is think about the 30-minute hour is the day before vacation, PDF. And PDF stands for planning, delegate, and focus. And so let me unpack those. So planning. So what happens is the day before vacation, you're not just going to like wake up and let the day go willy-nilly. You are planning the day out, right? So you've got a plan. You're probably waking up a little bit early. You got some clarity. You're waking up early and you've got that day mapped out. And so one of the keys to the 30-minute hour is that you, I'm not saying you plan every hour, but the hours you're trying to get stuff done, you've got those hours planned out. And maybe you even wake up a little bit early, that day. You're clear about what you need to get done. And I always tell people, I like next day planning because then the morning is more exciting because you kind of know where you're going and what's happening. And many people don't do that. And so I'd say, like, let's say you walk down the tarmac, you get on the airplane, right? And you look in the cockpit and there's no pilot, but you sit down. Maybe the pilot's in the restroom or something. So you sit down and then the flight attendant comes on and says, excuse me, today there's no pilot today. Right. And so how long are you going to stay on a plane with no pilot? Not very long. Right. And then the flight attendant might come on and say, you know what? I think I'll try flying it. I don't know how to fly. I mean, you're running out of that plane. Right. But that getting on the plane with no pilot, that's what you're doing every day that you start and you don't have the plan. Right. So, you know, you got to be I always say, don't get on that flight without a plan. So that's the imagery there, don't get on that flight without a pilot. And that's what you're doing if you don't have a next day plan. So P is for planning. D stands for delegate. So on the day before vacation, you're out there delegating stuff. Like you can't do it all. You're going to be leaving. Right. So you're delegating. You think who before do, like before I do it, I'm thinking who else could do this. Right. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of delegation, high delegation. So to have the 30-minute hour, that's the same thing. You're thinking who before you do. So who before do. So who could you delegate that to? Who could you get that out to? And you're also delegating and pushing out the non-vital stuff out into the future. And that's the same thing when you're looking to get an hour's worth of stuff done in 30 minutes. What part of that hour doesn't really need to be done? What can be delegated, but what could be pushed off? And then the last part of that is the most important, and that's focus, right? So we got planning, we got delegating, we got focused. On that day before vacation, you are like super focused. There's a whole list of things that you don't do, right? So on the day before vacation, you don't surf the internet for hours. You don't chit chat with friends. There's no chit chat talk at the water cooler. You're not watching TV shows. I mean, you're like on fire, right? And so that's the same thing that if you take that level of focused intensity and put it towards what you're trying to work on, you can get an hour's worth of stuff done in just 30 minutes. There's some other things for focus. There's on the day before vacation, people tend to use tasking. And so what I mean by that is there's three kinds of tasking. There's single tasking, multitasking, and batch tasking. So single tasking is like some work that only you can do, like only you can line up people for the podcast, and so you take away all distractions and you single focus on that. And a lot of times your single focus stuff, you're going to use a timer, time blocks, timers. I use a lot of timers. I just tell Siri, set a timer for 15 minutes or 30 minutes, whatever I'm working. I push the tasks that I'm working on into time blocks because I'm single tasking. I'm going to focus in just on that one thing. I don't have my email up. My phone, all the rings, dings, and bings are turned off. Like I'm in airplane mode, total focus mode. That's single tasking. And many of the most important things you do are that. Then there's multitasking. So multitasking is where you can comfortably do two things at once. So for example, on the day before vacation, you're like, okay, I've got to drive somewhere. That's 30 minutes. What could I do? I could make these phone calls. I could listen to the podcast I wanted to listen to. Like you're going to do other things besides just drive the car or work out. I like to work out and listen to a podcast, or I do a lot of Peloton bike here in my home office. And I have an insert that turns the handlebars into a desk. So I can get my exercise and I can be, working at the same time, right? So you're looking for things you can do together. And then there's batch tasking. And so on the day before vacation, everybody's using batch tasking, which means things that have a context that go together, you do them together. For example, if you had three errands to run on the day before vacation, you're not going to do one in the morning, one in the midday, you're doing them all together, right? As quickly as possible. Or if you have five phone calls to make, if you say, I'm going to do one now, one later. No, you take them all and say, I'm going to do these five calls in the next 45 minutes. Boom, boom, boom. Now you're very efficient, right? Or all the computer work or whatever, however you can put things together. Like my wife, Beth, I have all these things on the day before vacation. I'm not interrupting her every 30 minutes. I'm taking all my questions for her and putting them on a list in my phone so that when we are together, the context of us being together, now I just run through all that stuff. Way more efficient than interrupting her day, you know, throughout. So that single, multi, and batch tasking is a big one. Time blocking is also really big. You say no. That's the biggest thing, is your focus is so fierce that on that day before vacation, you say no to a lot of stuff, no to interruptions, no to shiny objects. And that's probably one of the biggest ones. So putting those things together, you know, I have a little sign up, you know, day before vacation to kind of remind myself of that. But, you know, hitting the planning, hitting the delegating, and then hitting the focus makes that happen.
100%. I love that. That's great. That's a great visualization because, man, the day before vacation, you are definitely wired. You are definitely focused, looking to get everything done. And you're really not distracted. You're really not worried about anything else. And so I love that mindset that you just laid on us. That's crazy. I love that. So
and you could put a little reward. You know, you might want to put a reward. You know, the vacation is a nice reward, but put a reward in at the end of the day, which could be, you know, something that you really enjoy to do, whatever that is, gaming, exercise, you know, chilling, whatever it is. Yeah. Give yourself that reward because you earned it.
Yeah. Like you said, that guilt-free hour, 2 hours right there at the end. Yeah. I love that. I love that. So real quick, and before we end off, I want to hear a little bit more about the 21 second habits. Talk a little bit about that, and then we can go into results machine after that.
Right. All right. So
we can start off with the 21 second habit.
Yeah. So people, you know, success is based a lot on habits. We're creatures of habit, right? Yep. And so there's two things there. There's creating new habits, and then there's bad habit elimination. So let's just talk about you want to create new habits. And so a lot of times when I'm talking to people, they're like, oh, I'm terrible at habits. I, you know, my New Year's resolution is toast by February, you know, and people think that they're not good at creating a habit. But my one of my brands called Self-Fluence, the art and science of influencing yourself. Yeah. And one of the things is that you are good at these things like productivity. You know, you can the day before vacation, you nail it. Well, it's the same thing. You're already a habit master. And so when they told you it takes 21 days to create a new habit, no, you were lied to. I am sorry. It only takes 21 seconds, but there's a key to that. And the first fact is that you are already a habit master. So I'm going to ask you, let's see. So do you brush your teeth?
Yep.
Okay. So when's the last time you went like a week without brushing your teeth? Probably never.
Never. Yeah.
Never.
Probably when I was a kid, probably.
Yeah. So there are things like that. And so my wife actually, the way I learned this 21 second habits was actually with my wife, and she had migraine headaches, and she had to keep this log of like when the headaches came and what food she ate and what the barometric pressure was and all these different things. And so she would only do it for a few days, and then she would lose the log or forget to do it. And then she'd have a migraine and I'd ask her about the log. And that was not a good husband move there. But what we realized is that, wait a second, she brushes her teeth every day. So we took the headache log and we put the toothbrush on top, and there's a pen there. So every day that she brushed her teeth, she filled out the log. And so she went for like 90 days in a row, filling out the log. And then the doctors were able to use that and medication and different things. And it helped to solve her problem. Right. So the key there was that she habit linked to an existing habit that you're already a master at. And that's how the new habit is created instantly. So an example in my own life is that I had two things I wanted. There was this Bible app that I wanted to do every day. And then I wanted to take, I call it a mind shower. So a mind shower is like every day people wash their body, right? Well, how often do you wash your mind? So I want to take a 3 to 10 minute mind shower every day using an app called Headspace, which is like a meditation app. But I wanted to make sure I did that every day. And so what I did is on my smartphone, I took the homepage. I took all the apps off my homepage, you know, except for those two apps, the Bible app and this meditation app. And here's what I did. I have it linked. When I wake up in the morning, one of the first things I do is I turn on my phone. That's one. So I'm a master at turning on my phone. There's not a day that goes by that I don't turn that phone on. And so what I said to myself is I said, look, when I open up that phone, I'm not allowed to touch any other apps until I do those two. And so today is day 1,460 in a row. So I did have a question for you. Is what sounds longer, 460 days in a row or 4 years in a row? Which sounds like a longer, now they're the same. It's just number wise, it's the same, but I was almost thinking like 4 years sounds longer than 1460 days, but I was just curious.
I don't know. It's been definitely 400, the 400 plus days sounds longer.
Just okay. 1460 days sounds longer than 4 years. Yeah. Okay.
But four years is long too. I mean, yeah. four years is pretty long.
Yeah. So for me, that habit, it's ongoing now. And I'm at this 1460 days in a row for 4 years. I've done that because I open my phone every day. Right. And there may be text messages from family. There may be emails and news, but I surf the urge. See, I have this urge that I want to check the news and stocks and all that stuff, have my friends emailed me or whatever. I yeah. surf the urge to get that new habit done that I wanted. The other day I had a lady and she was like, I want to do this next day planning. I'm not doing it. And I said, okay, what do you do first thing in the morning, every morning? She goes, I have a cup of coffee every morning. I said, great. You can't have the cup of coffee until you start the plan. Now you can do the plan while you drink the coffee, but you can't drink the coffee till the plan started. And now she's got, you know, X number of days in a row, right? So what you do is it's called habit linking. So the way you have this 21 second habit is you take the new habit and you link it to something that you're already a habit master at. And that could be daily. That could be multiple times a day. That could be something you do weekly. Like maybe you want a new weekly habit and you always do, you know, something every Monday, right? I have a big list of the things people do daily, weekly, monthly, maybe annually, and whatever cadence of a habit you want, you link it to that thing that you're already habit master at.
100%. Yeah, I've heard of habit linking, habit stacking. This is like remarkable. Like you mentioned already, we are already creatures of habit. We already have habits in our day. And to link these productive habits to what we're already doing is the key. It's a key that we can really use. And for me, definitely, I love to start my morning with a podcast and an audiobook. And for me, I can get better at just having those two apps open and saying, hey, I'm going to listen to these two before I get the day started. And so I love that you mentioned that.
And the other thing is if you can figure out an urge that you can surf, like something you really want, like if you realized like you love to listen to podcasts in the morning and that really starts your day well, but there's some new habit you want for the morning, like drinking 8 ounces of water, right? Yep. If you can surf the urge to want to listen to the podcast, say, I got to drink the eight ounces of water before I listen to the podcast. Surfing an urge is helpful to get you kind of over the hump every day to actually kind of dialing down the resistance and increasing the reward to kind of get you to do that. So habit linking with surfing an urge is the most powerful.
I love that. Using it as kind of fuel for you to get that habit done.
Exactly. Exactly.
I love it. Well, Blaine, you added so much value to my listeners, to myself. I got notes that I'm taking that I'm going to use for myself, right?
Nice. And
I just think that this is a very powerful episode. That was very simple things, nothing out of the ordinary, but very simple things that people can take today and use today to help them progress and reach their goals. So what I would love to do, I would love to give you an opportunity to kind of share where folks can find you and kind of continue to follow you and your message. Or even get in contact with you to get to learn you a little bit better.
Yeah, I think the easiest thing is just I have a TEDx talk. And so I set up a website, Blaine TEDx. So just BlaineTEDx.com, BlaineTEDx.com. And if you go there, you can opt in, you get the TED talk, a transcription, but then you get my email address. You'll hear about the super results days, the different things that I'm doing. And then I also give articles and you'll kind of be part of what I call my results family. But that's probably the easiest thing. And you can then definitely email me once you'll get an email from me once you opt into that and we can start a relationship. I'd love to help you. I've built businesses from home, but none of them have any daily operations. So I'm able to kind of help people, you know, quite a bit.
I love that. And I'll be linking that. I'm looking at these different links right here and I'll be able to link those in the podcast to get those going. So I'm pumped for people to listen to this, honestly, and get in contact with you. But with that being said, that's another episode of Playing Injured. And Blaine, I appreciate you.
Well, listen, thank you for having me. Really appreciate, you letting me share here. And I just want to say for you, I mean, you're a bright light for those playing injured. You're bringing a lot of value here. And the cool thing is you're taking the time to put it out on the internet, to put it in as a podcast. And the cool thing is there are people not yet born who could listen to this and get value, right? So you're not only touching lives now, but touching lives in the future. Maybe someday somebody's listening to this from Mars. So shout out to those people living on Mars, but you're doing a great job here and appreciate you and your spirit of service.
100%. I appreciate that. That's powerful. That's powerful.
Our brand design and strategy is by Tessa at 5footstudios.com. You can also follow her on Instagram at 5footstudios. Our music is by Lakey Inspired. Go ahead and subscribe so that you never miss an episode, and click the 5 stars to give us a rating. And most importantly, keep playing injured.